Hey everyone, and welcome to the Hack My Homestead podcast. This is Sean Mills here with
Ashley Mills at Bus A Move 2000.
Bus A Move 2000. And today is Sunday, January 7th, 2024. And today we're going to give you a little bit of an update on the schoolie and kind of walk through why we decided to do what, like why we chose thing A versus thing B, right?
Right. Or what norms we went against.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's get right into it. Ashley, tell us about your schoolie.
So the schoolie is a school bus that we decided to buy in August of 2022, that we're renovating for like kind of like an apartment, a mobile apartment.
Mm-hmm.
So I can travel if I want to.
Turning it into an RV. As a matter of fact, we have registered it as an RV here in Tennessee, which was ridiculously easy. In case you're thinking about building your own schoolie, coming to Tennessee and registering it might be a good idea.
Yeah, so according to the government, it's just an RV. And I'm going to live in it one day, and so we're slowly but surely renovating it to be livable.
Mm-hmm. And it is a 2000 International.
That's why, if anybody was wondering why we picked Bus A Move 2000, it's because that's the year of the bus was made.
Right. It's got a 7.3 liter diesel engine, and which is nice because our primary heating, or Ashley's primary heating, is going to be with a diesel heater. And so it already has a 55-gallon diesel gas tank built in. So that makes that a little bit easier. We don't have to put a separate diesel tank in. And it's also safer. So when we were going through and looking at different buses, we actually test drove a gasoline GMC bus. And then after a bunch of research, determined that from a safety standpoint, it's much safer with a big vehicle like that with a gas tank that, you know, in a bad wreck could become ruptured, to do that with diesel rather than gasoline because it's much less volatile. So it's a diesel, and mechanically it's in great shape. We drove it from Alabama to Tennessee, loaded it up like a U-Haul, and drove it up here. Zero problems driving it here. Did have a slight issue getting it up the hill.
Yeah.
Because our driveway is very steep and gravel, and it had just been re-graded and re-graveled, and it was raining. It had been torrentially downpouring all day long here. We didn't drive through. Most of our drive was pretty easy, but it did not make it up the hill the first time, and I had to do some kind of creative Dukes of Hazzard type of stuff to get it up the hill, but it made it.
Yep.
Didn't even have to pull it. I thought I would end up having to pull it with our Excursion, which oddly enough has the 6.0 liter version of the same engine. So they have the same engine manufacturer, so to speak. But that's the bus. It's a full-on 40-foot, 11-row, so 66-passenger bus. We went with the biggest bus that they had so that, you know, she could have the largest living space possible.
How much did we pay for it? That's a question I get a lot.
$3,500.
Yes. It was listed for $45,000, and we were like, let's just lowball it. And they were like, okay.
Yep.
And that was that.
Yep. So we paid $3,500 for it and drove it from Georgia to Alabama, and then drove it from Alabama up to Tennessee. No problems mechanically. Tires are in good shape.
No fire.
No fires.
In the middle of July.
Yeah, we did have a list. So we deleted the heater that actually lives in, you know, there's a heater in the back of the of most of these buses for like the back half of the bus. And all it is basically a radiator with a fan, and it routes engine coolant through it. And so that hot coolant, I know it's kind of sounds weird saying it, but the coolant is still over 200 degrees when the engine is running. That runs through that radiator, and then the fan blows air across it to heat it up. So we deleted that, and our first test drive after we deleted it and then took the two ends of the hose and kind of made a loop and put them together was kind of crazy. We we had a lot of antifreeze coming out of there.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I was like, is the door gonna break? Like, is the glass gonna break? Because it looked so dramatic with all the steam.
Yeah,
and it wasn't like blowing out,
but it was definitely leaking.
Yeah, so we had to it emptied all the coolant out, and we had to refill the whole thing.
Yeah, I think that we actually created a siphon accidentally when we. So I thought what I was doing was I was draining the coolant out of the hose when we cut the heater off. So what we did is we undid the heater, we pulled it out through the side door, we cut the hose, and then I thought just drained the hose. And I was like, man, that's a significant amount of coolant that came out of the hose. And then we cut the hose down to length, we patched it, so we just made a loop with it so that it would circulate properly. And then we took it out for a drive, and, you know, essentially the engine overheated, and it was steamy and crazy. And then after I thought about it later, I was like, well, you know, the bucket that I had outside was actually lower than the engine. So most likely what happened is when I cut the two hoses, and I had the one hose below the radiator level, essentially, I created a siphon that essentially sucked all the coolant out of the system. Because after we kind of realized the error of our ways and we changed out the actual clamp on the hose, we ended up putting like 6 gallons of coolant back in it.
5 or 6, yeah.
So I'm pretty sure that's what happened. So oops. Didn't cause any problems with the engine. Like I said, we drove it after that one test drive, which we were just driving it at like 25 miles per hour. We took it back to the house, fixed it. We recoolanted it and then drove it all the way up here with no problems. So one of the things that's a lot different about your bus, Ashley, is the layout. So tell us what's different about the layout and why you decided to do it that way.
So what you normally see in a schoolie is people like to put their bedrooms in the back of the bus toward the emergency exit door, and then they do their, you know, little hallway with a bathroom, and then in the front they have a living room and a kitchen. We decided to do a living / bedroom area in the front, kitchen area toward the middle, and then bathroom in the very back. And the reason we did that is because, number one, safety. Imagine sleeping next to a door. Like, there's a door right next to you.
The emergency exit.
If anybody decides to come say hi at uninvited times, or it opens for some reason, it's right there where you're sleeping. There's no security. And insulation. It's way easier to insulate. We have a wall in the front behind the driver's seat, and then we have a wall in the back for the bathroom. And so it's a lot easier to insulate that versus the big old windows in the back and the big old windows in the front, try to insulate the whole thing. So those are the main things. And I, you know, it just made more sense for me.
Yeah, you see a lot of people that build schoolies, they try to make it look like a house.
Yeah.
Well, it's not a house.
Right.
And so we made a lot of decisions around the layout of Ashley's schoolie to make it as convenient for her, rather than, oh, we have to have a couch in the front with a living room with a TV mounted on one side because that's what people have in their houses.
Right.
And I was like, well, that is a complete waste of space.
It's not a priority for me either.
Right. And so it's like, well, why don't we go bedroom in the front, you know, platform for the bed, then we go dinette in the middle. Because if Ashley's going to have people to come over and visit, you know, that gives them a table to sit around if they're not outside. You can play games. You can eat. You can have a meal together. You can use that for meal prep as well. And then a nice kitchen with storage on both sides of it. And then a relatively decent sized bathroom. So most schoolies that we saw have a small shower stall and then a composting toilet, aka bucket, in the shower stall, and so you've got like this 3x3 square that's the whole bathroom.
Right.
And so what we did was we put, it's not quite 3 feet front to back because of the insulation, but It's the whole width of the bus. And so we really focused on making the layout functional and convenient for the one person that's going to live there, instead of making it inconvenient for that person,
just
so that the few times that people come over and visit and they're hanging out inside, like, okay, so if someone comes over and visit, they have to walk around your bed to get to the dinette. Big deal.
Right.
You know?
Oh, we have to sit on a bed instead of an uncomfortable random futon couch.
Right, right.
That sucks.
So that's kind of the thought process. We also wanted, you see a lot of places, they have cabinets all the way down both sides at, like, above the window, right? And I did a bunch of research on designing small spaces and found that you feel the smallness because of what's at your eye level. And so we decided to try to build this with, actually, we did build it with no upper cabinets. Now, obviously, we can go back in at a later date and put in cabinets or shelves or whatever Ashley wants.
Right.
If she decides that she needs that. But, you know, upper cabinets do two things. One, they create more space that you feel obligated to fill with stuff, which increases your weight. And it also makes the space feel smaller. So if you have, you know, counters and below counter cabinets, and then you have wide open from side to side at eye level, it feels bigger than it is.
Right.
And so that's why we went with no cabinets on the upper half.
Ever since you told me that, it's always in the back of my mind. And so anytime I'm like, I just feel so tiny and claustrophobic right now. And you just kind of pay attention. It's like, oh yeah, there's just a whole bunch of stuff. Like, whether it's paintings or cabinets or shelves or whatever, whole bunch of stuff at eye level. It really does make a big, big difference.
Yeah. So let's talk about your choice of wall covering. All your wall isn't done yet, but the part that is and the part that you're going to be completing, what are you using for wall covering?
We're using pallet wood, I guess. There's
yeah.
no other word to go on to.
We call them plaps.
That. Yeah.
Pallet flaps.
Number one, the initial idea was that they're free. I mean, pretty much, like, we can go down the street and see many, many pallets just sitting there. I'm sure if we went into one of these businesses and said, hey, can I have these? They'd be like, yes, take them away from us.
Mm-hmm.
We decided to buy already stripped, and they were supposed to be with no nails, but not all of them had no nails. We decided to just buy bundles of them. $30 for how many would you say?
Like 75.
Yeah, like a big bundle of already pre-made. You can sand it, you can paint it, you can stain it, you can do whatever you want with it. The way it is now, I think it has nice personality as mm-hmm. it is now. But it was a really cheap alternative to anything else I could think of. And it's really customizable. I mean, I can't think of anything you couldn't do
right.
with that wood. But I love it.
Yeah,
I
it's cheap. It looks good.
Easy to install. I mean, bam, bam, it's in.
Right. Yep. And then so for insulation, what we did there, we actually have four different kinds of insulation in the bus. So we have the main insulation, I would say, is spray foam. Okay. We used that because I was able to find it super cheap at Lowe's. I actually worked for a company whose sister company at the time was an insulation supply company. And I went by and I talked to the guy and I said, hey, what is a kit? What's a 200 square foot kit of this spray foam stuff? And he gave me the price. Now, the reality is, I think if I had gone to him and actually bought it, that I may not have paid anything, but I definitely wouldn't have paid retail. But then I was able to find four full kits of it ready to go at Lowe's, marked down 50% from retail. And so instead of, like, you know, utilizing that resource, and I kind of felt like maybe it was taking advantage of that relationship, I just bought it straight from Lowe's. So most of the arch part of the roof is spray foam insulation, or all of the arch part of the roof is spray foam insulation.
Right.
And then on the walls, we used
thought this foam. Was really smart on our part, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, so we used foam paneling. We cut it so that it was just smaller than those little openings, I guess you would call it, between the window and what's called the chair rail. We spray foamed inside the chair rail, taped these foam panels up, and then spray foamed around it. So it's those foam panels, the ones that we used, have the exact same kind of insulation as spray foam. And so all we did was we used a cheaper version of the spray foam that already had a vapor barrier built into it and spray foamed around that. Then in the front and in the back, so the front wall and the rear wall, and eventually inside the bathroom cavity, the walls where we insulate inside the bathroom, we used mineral wool insulation or rock wool. And there's a couple reasons for that. One of the reasons is it's rodent proof. And so since we're focusing on creating a 27 foot or 24 front wall to back wall.
Yeah, probably. Between,
I think it's 24.
20, yeah.
So mid-20s, we'll say. So in the mid-20s, feet of interior space that we're insulating and climate controlling. And then we'll have the bathroom, which isn't climate controlled, and we'll have the driver's compartment, which isn't climate controlled. Well, it could be, like when you're driving it, but not when it's sitting. So one of the concerns was is that we might have, like, especially having it parked out here on our property where it's kind of in the middle of a field right now, having field mice come in when it gets cold. And so mineral wool insulation, mice or other, you know, animals aren't going to chew through that and get into the center cavity. So we used rock wool insulation there. It also, it is a sound dampening insulation. It has better acoustical properties than any of the other insulations that we have. And so again, using that for the front and the rear, where most of the noise is going to come from, excuse me. And then underneath the floor, we used extruded polystyrene, I think.
Yeah.
The pink foam insulation. So we used that on the floor because it can take a load. Like, it's actually rated for like 250 pounds per square foot or inch. Inch, I think. It's
that's
crazy.
That's crazy.
Like, you could drive the bus on top of it. And so we used that on the floor. And then we used 3/4 inch plywood on top of that. And then Ashley's going to put, laminate planking?
Yeah.
Laminate planks, basically, on her floor, the main floor. So why did you decide to go with the laminate planks for the flooring?
Before we get to that, I do want to say, with the walls, with the with putting the boards up, also is to make it easier if I decided to put any more windows in.
Right.
Instead of having to cut through all that stuff, that spray foam, there's a board that
she could literally pull the board out,
cut the metal,
yeah, and put a window in.
Do what you need to do. It just because there's only 3 windows in there right now. A very good possibility is I decide, okay,
three windows in the middle part. You got all the front and all the back.
Right. I could decide to put more windows in one day, and that just is going to make my life so much easier.
Yeah.
That day, and the floor. I mean, it's such a small space to where, like, it doesn't take a lot. So I can really, like, there's the possibilities are endless on
you can do grain. Premium flooring.
Yeah.
And, you know, the most expensive flooring you can buy, it's probably still going to be less than $500 to floor that whole area.
Right. So, and it's, that's not very thick either. So it doesn't take up extra space that isn't necessary. That was another thing with the walls, using the pallet wood. It's thin. It's not super thick, like 2x4s or something that I see a lot of people use.
Yeah, we made a lot of conscious decisions in the design process of using smaller dimensional items to preserve a little bit of space.
Yeah.
Now, we did use 3/4 inch plywood on the floor, but that was because that plywood was free.
Yeah.
And we decided that sacrificing less than 1/4 inch of height for free was a good trade-off.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, with my not expertise, but my favorite part of this build is the creative aspect of it, and having that freedom to do kind of whatever you want with the floor. Since it's a small space,
you've got some interesting ideas on what to do on the wall too.
Right. So with the wall, I want to do, like, I don't know how we're going to do it yet, but kind of a wave pattern over the pallet wood planks.
We'll have like 1/8 or 1/4 inch thick material.
Right.
That will go on the front of the pallet wood, but not over all of it. It'll be an actual design. She'll choose some colors and paint it or stain it or whatever she decides to do.
It'll be like a wave, and it's going to be so fun.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really neat. Because you've got the natural curve of the roof, and then the walls are straight, but she's going to put in an interesting design element on the walls. I'm really excited to see how that turns out. And then, all right, so let's talk about your countertops.
Countertops. I don't even, what kind of wood did we pick?
Okay, I guess I'm talking about the countertops. Acacia.
Yeah.
Unstained. Butcher block.
Yep. Not stained, not polished, not like, it's, you could do, like, I don't know what I'm going to do with it yet, but.
You could just oil it. Yeah. And be done with it, yeah.
Yeah, butcher block. Oh,
so oil and beeswax.
With the sink, though, we decided to leave the cutout of the sink. And, I don't know how to explain it, but we cut it out and we tried to cut it as pretty and clean as possible and put a little hole in it. It's like
the sink is an undermount sink. So it mounts to the bottom of the cabinet or the countertop. And we left a lip on three sides, on the sides and on the front, to support the part that we cut out for the sink opening so that she can use that as a cutting board. So basically, you know, when she's going down the road or when she's doing food prep, she can utilize the entire countertop and then take that insert out, and then she's got the sink below it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's
really good at explaining things.
Right. And then, so tell us about your refrigerator.
My refrigerator,
It has a freezer, right?
Yeah.
It's a separate door, isn't it? Yeah. I thought that
was one of those cute little retro looking, what is it? What's the brand? I don't remember.
Frigidaire, I think.
Yeah. It's a mint green color. It's so cute. And it's got some good space in it for one person.
Yeah, it's got plenty of. So that's one of the things that we have discovered from kind of watching a bunch of different people's things is, there's a significant amount of wasted space for refrigerators and freezers. And, with one person living by themselves and entertaining every now and again, you don't need a significant amount of refrigerator space. Our refrigerator here at our house is only 7.1 cubic feet.
And, for a family of four.
And it's not full right now. Now, we also have two freezers, so a lot of times food will go from the freezer to the fridge to prepare, then leftovers back to the fridge, but, we don't have a lot of wasted refrigerator space, and so she kind of took that idea into the bus as well. So, the refrigerator is probably about not quite 2 inches wide, or 2 feet wide.
Right.
About 2 feet deep, and maybe four feet tall.
Yeah, tall.
So you can actually put stuff up on top of it if you need to. Cabinet space
over top. Mm-hmm. I know I definitely want to build it up and put, so I'm bringing my dog with me and put a drawer for a dog bowl that can go in and out. Because, I mean, you only need it, 5 minutes out of every day?
Right.
So why not be able to
put it away
easy?
Mm-hmm. Let's see. You already had a bed. Full-size bed, so we built your platform for a full-size bed.
Yeah.
The other reason why a lot of people put the bed in the back is they do a queen or a king-size bed, and it takes the entire width of the bus. And so, obviously, if you do that, the only way you can do it is have it at the end. And then a lot of people put what they call a garage underneath it, so they'll have all their storage and everything like that underneath it. We've got plenty of underneath storage. I think our quote-unquote garage area will actually be in the front, in the driver area.
I was telling him the other day, I was sitting here thinking about all the other any storage ideas, little here and there, fun little things. And I'm like, I don't even know what I'm going to do with all the storage that I already have.
Yeah, we talked about at some point later, she might put some under the actual cab boxes. All right, they make those boxes like you see on the side of flatbed trucks and stuff. You just mount them to the bottom of the frame. But again, there's no need for it at this point.
Right. That's what we're really trying to do, is not get stuff just in case or because you might need it or anything like that. We're only trying to focus on the bare minimum. And then we can just add on if we need it.
Yeah.
Don't overfill it. Don't overdo it if you don't need to.
Right. So there's some other brand new news from today. Would you like to share what happened today for the first time ever?
I made my very first big girl purchase. I bought a 2006 Jeep Cherokee Laredo today. Literally just got back like 30, 40 minutes ago.
Yep. From her first car that she bought with her own money.
Yep. Been saving since.
And then she's about to have a heart attack tomorrow when we find out how much it's going to cost to insure it every month.
Yeah, I can't wait.
My guess is 100. About 100.
That's what I'm hoping for. I'm budgeting because all my friends pay $100 a month, yeah. $120 a month for their stuff. So
yeah, I think that's probably what it's going to wind up being. So, all right. So back to the bus. What did we have to do to the bus before driving it?
Before driving it, we had to take off all the decals that said school bus, mm-hmm. and even though they were painted over. You could still see it. We had a hot gun, a hot air gun, whatever you want to call it, and a scraper, and just, they didn't peel off very satisfyingly at all. So, even though it's so weird, we had to take off everything that said school bus. We had to take off the stop sign.
Stop sign. Yeah.
We one thing we had a bit of a struggle with was there's a security system when the emergency doors open that just beeps, like it just won't
the
stop
buzzer,
so we had to take care of that.
We did decide to basically take all of the 12 volt wiring out and redo it.
Yeah,
we didn't want to rely on the wiring that was there. We kept some of the wire itself for some short runs where we can inspect the whole length of the wire, like up front for LED lights on the mm-hmm. exterior and stuff like that. But in terms of like turn signals and brakes and backup lights and all of that, the bundle of wires that goes from the front to the back, most of that wasn't needed because most of it is for stuff that's school bus specific, like the flashers and, like you've got a wire that runs from the front to the back that turns the back left upper flasher on, and then it runs back to the front to a little display to show the driver that flasher is on, and then it runs back to the back again. Ugh. To the back right, and so on and so forth. So you've got
so much wire.
Yeah,
it was crazy. We also installed cameras, mm-hmm. like backup and front and side cameras,
right?
That and those were so big.
Really, those worked really well when we drove it up here.
Yes,
yeah, I was really impressed with, because obviously it's so big that a rear view mirror just isn't.
Yeah.
Especially with two walls in between the front and the back.
Weird roomy. Grandma, she was trying to give me one of those things that hang on your rear view mirrors that to cut the seat belt and to break the window. I was like, Grandma, I don't even have a rear view mirror. I don't have anywhere to put this.
Yeah. So let's see what else. We have, like I mentioned, a light bar on the front.
We have a vent fan over the kitchen and one of the emergency hatch.
Yeah, there's an emergency. So the emergency windows that we're in, we took those out. So we replaced all of the windows in the whole bus except for the very front and the very back. So all of the windows in the living compartment were all taken out because they leak. They're horrible. They have zero insulation value. We put RV windows in, including an RV escape hatch window.
Right.
In the kitchen area. So if there's a fire, she'll just have to crawl through the fire to get out.
Yeah.
Or the front door or the back door, right?
Right.
So if she's in the main living quarters and needs to escape because she can't go through the front or the back, there's a way out. And then there's also the main emergency exit in the back and then the fold-out doors in the front.
Right. And for anybody wondering, Noah did not have to get a CDL to drive that bus.
Yeah, even though it has air brakes. So I thought this, if it had air brakes, you had to have a CDL. But apparently, hey, watch what you're doing with your feet there, Missy. For those that are just listening to the audio, we're sitting here with the camera like 2 feet in front of us. And Ashley was just rotating it with her feet without paying attention. So, lost my train of thought. What was I talking about?
Air brakes.
Oh, air brakes. CDL. Yeah. But if it's a recreational vehicle, you don't have to have that. So we pretty much, as soon as it was registered as an RV, the requirement for any type of special license went away. So I thought it was crazy. Now, yeah. I have told her she needs to read up on, you know, basically get the book for a Class B license and just read it, just for, you know, to have that extra information, because it's good. You know, how to do a pre-trip inspection, you know, how air brakes actually work, all of that kind of stuff, braking distances and things like that. So, let's see, back to the actual bus itself. Oh, we didn't mention, so the ceiling is metal. It's not the same metal that we took out when we demoed the interior, but it's a different type of metal. It's kind of shiny. She's thinking about maybe painting it to match the fridge or something like that. But that was probably the toughest, and it doesn't look great. Like, it's got some gaps and stuff. Like, we might have to like trim it out to make it look better. But again, it was free material, and the idea was, well, let's get the insulation covered up so that there's no, you know, we're not hitting it and stuff. Oh, and then we also used, I'm trying to remember the type of insulation.
That's another thing. That
the black insulation, I can't remember the type of it, but it's specifically, like, it can live in wet environments, and it's really good for acoustical and stuff like that. We put that over the wheel wells.
Yeah.
Wheel wells.
Wheel well. A lot of people ask me, when is it going to be done? When is it going to be finished? And the answer we always give
2087.
Yes. The answer we always give is, well, it depends on what your idea of finished is. So it will be livable, hopefully, pretty soon.
But it's livable now.
Yeah.
So if you
there's electricity.
If you were to treat it as a dry camper, I mean, it's basically a dry camper right now.
Right.
Now, because the front bulkhead isn't done in terms of the door being in the front or the back, like the interior door is being done, it would be hard to climate control it. So that's the thing that we need to do in order to actually climate control it. But I would say if you wanted to live in it the whole spring and the whole fall, you could do that now.
Right.
You'd have to haul your water, you know, composting toilet and all that.
But it's livable.
It's livable. It has electricity. It's got a 12-volt system and a 120-volt system. Inverter, charge controller, lithium iron phosphate battery, so the battery can be stored inside. She has 2 12-volt bus batteries that are currently dead, because even though I reminded her multiple times to go crank the engine so that the alternator would keep the batteries topped off, she waited too long to do it, and so now those batteries are dead. So
we have to address
that. But
We should have take that today. Hmm? Those batteries, we should have taken those today.
Yeah. We don't need to even take them. We just need to undo them and bring them up here, and we'll put them on the battery charger.
Oh, yeah.
So.
But it's not pretty. Like, I mean, the flooring.
Right, yeah.
Isn't done. The painting's not done. I mean, there's still insulation that's exposed.
Yeah.
It's not pretty, but I mean, it's the bare minimum.
Yeah, I would call it an unfinished but livable dry camper. Now, and this is the thing that we really liked about the Schoolie, is as soon as the demo's done, like, you could live in it if you wanted to.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be the most comfortable, but you'd keep the weather off of you, right? You'd be able to stay out of the sun, out of the rain, out of the wind. Relatively out of the rain, because, like I said, the windows leak like sieves. But, yeah. Let's see, what else? The next big steps are, get the front and rear door built, and the doors will be insulated as well, so we're building those up from scratch. So you got to get those built and get the back of the front wall on the passenger side closed in, insulated and closed in, and get your diesel heater mounted. Once that's done, now she has a climate-controlled living space.
Yeah.
And so then the next primary step is water. And then once the water is done, then it's like, okay, then we can finish the bathroom. And then at that point, she can focus on interior finishes.
Yep.
So we moved, let's see, we started it, I guess, like Labor Day weekend last year. 2022 years ago now. Ooh. Started it Labor Day weekend 2 years ago. The plan was to have it done by last August.
Last May.
Well, no, the plan was to have it done by last August.
No, because I wanted it done before I graduated.
Well, her plan was to have it done by last May. I'm pretty sure I have a written down schedule of what we were going to do every weekend that led us to being done by her birthday. But we kind of took a hiatus when, like, March?
February
of last year, just because she had a bunch of stuff going on, and it was like, hey, we don't have to focus on this. And then I threw a monkey wrench in the whole situation by deciding to quit my job at the end of June last year and sell the house in Alabama and move back. So now, time that we would have otherwise spent working on the bus, we were working on packing and doing repairs to the house and moving.
We also threw a Kickstarter in there somewhere.
decided to do a Kickstarter. And so, when did we have the GSD weekend? Was that April?
I think it was April.
So in April, we had our GSD weekend where we had some friends come both from Alabama and Tennessee and help us get like all the cabinets and stuff done and the bed frame and everything built. And there hasn't been any major work done. We've probably done 4 or 5 hours combined.
Combined, yeah.
Since then. But again, once that happened, it was like, oh, okay, well, now we need to get the house ready to sell. Then we need to sell the house. Then everything else going on.
And while before it got cold, I mean, I slept down there every night.
Yeah.
Throughout the fall, when we moved back here.
Even like late summer, like even when it was hot during the day, but it would cool off in the evenings, you were still down there.
Yeah, pretty much the second we were full time back here, I was down there.
Right.
And when it got cold, right at the same time when it got cold here, we got a guest room situated. So I've been staying at the house while it was cold, but.
But hopefully we can get this thing done by the spring so I can kick her out again.
Okay.
That'll be good.
That's great. Yeah, no, I'm so excited for that.
Well, we're adding that to the list of other projects for the homestead.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But getting it to where she could sleep in there during the cold weather, there's not a whole lot of work left to be done there. And we've got, I'd say, most of the materials, if not all the materials, to do that.
Right.
You know, as we have this conversation, she's getting ready to go out of town today, and then I'm going out of town later in the week. And so it's probably February before we get another, like, solid weekend that we can dedicate to it. But, again, I still think that by the time we get to spring, we can have that done and maybe even have the plumbing done. So that'd be good.
Yeah.
Because realistically, once the walls are done and the heater's in, like, you could do the floors. You could work on the floors and the walls.
Right. Floors and, yeah.
So, all right. Anything else you want to mention before? For those of you that are watching this on Ashley's YouTube channel, you can go check me out at Hack My Homestead. I've got a bunch of information about off-grid energy systems mainly, but also some off-grid water stuff. I've got a podcast. And for those of you listening to the podcast, go check out Ashley's YouTube channel. She's at Bus-A-Move 2000 and also Instagram.
And TikTok.
Tickety-tockety and Facebook.
Yeah,
so we're both kind of trying to figure out exactly what our social media strategy is. Right now, it's just going to be like all everything.
Yeah.
and then go from there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thanks for joining us today, and we'll talk to you next time.